and he became the prison storyteller. Every day, after dinner, other inmates would ask for stories, and he'd recite whatever came to mind. He said, "Guys in the joint were my first audience. If you can play guitar or paint or say poems, you have an audience, and you get affirmed. I got a lot of support." The poet Gwendolyn Brooks saw some of his work, came to visit him in prison, helped him work through his poems, and his first book of poems, Poems from Prison, came out in 1968. It was on this day in 1927 the actress Mae West was sentenced to 10 days in prison for her starring role in the play Sex on Broadway, which she also wrote and directed, her first Broadway show. It got terrible reviews, the play, but it attracted huge audiences. Mae West said, "I wrote the story myself. It's about a girl who lost her reputation and never minded." It had been running for 41 weeks when the police showed up, arrested the cast and crew, though only Mae West was sent to jail. She was charged with producing an immoral show and maintaining a public nuisance. A few years later, she wrote and starred in the play Diamond Lil. She went to Hollywood, got a little part in a movie called Night After Night, and she was allowed to rewrite her scenes. In her first scene, a hat-check girl says to her, "Goodness, what beautiful diamonds," and West says, "Goodness had nothing to do with it, dearie." It was a big hit, and a few years later, 1933, she had her biggest hit, I'm No Angel, with Cary Grant. And by 1935, she was said to be the second highest paid person in the United States, after William Randolph Hearst. Here's a poem for today by Michael Ryan, entitled Here I Am. On a subway station bench, next to two teens, one pretty, one not. The pretty one keeps saying how much she'll miss the unpretty one, kissing her cheeks, while the unpretty one looks down at her lap, saying, "No, you won't, no, you won't," until the train comes, and on goes the pretty one, still smiling, twirling her red plastic clutch, singing, "Goodbye, I'll call you," and the unpretty one just sits here like a stone, even after the train is gone, even after I write this down. A poem by Michael Ryan, Here I Am, from his collection This Morning, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Minutes after 3 o'clock, Pat Moore, your host for Juno Afternoon. With me in the studio are two members, well, actually the director and one of the charter members of the Juno Pride Chorus. Mary Graham is here with Leslie Wood, and they are telling us about a concert which will come up on the 21st at 7:30 p.m. So it's at the Jack?
It's at the Jack.
Yeah. What you going to do?
Well, we're going to start the evening with a silent auction because we're doing some fundraising to go to a festival in Denver in July, and this is probably one of our most ambitious concerts too. There's a lot of music in this concert and a lot of different varieties of styles of music, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
32 members of the chorus, and
yes,
you're taking most of them to Denver.
Yep, those that can make it.
And the Denver festival is the gala.
Right, Gala Choruses, festival, which is the Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses, and every 4 years they have a huge festival. It's international. There'll be people from New Zealand and Australia, I know for sure from reading up on it, and there's going to be over 5,400 delegates to this festival, and there's three huge concert halls in Denver and 200 performances over 4.5 days. It's going to be huge.
Okay. So have we done this before? Has a Juno Pride Chorus gone to this before?
We haven't gone to a bit as big. This is the biggest festival we've ever gone to. Was it 2000?
In 2002, we went to a smaller international. It was a regional festival in just the Western United States, and that was 600 people, and that was really exciting. And then we also went to the Sister Singers Network Festival in 2010, and that's a different group that we belong to of all women's choruses, and we were one of 23 choruses singing there. So there was probably 500 people in that venue.
Who's the audience for an international festival like that? Who's the audience?
Chorus members of all the delegates from all the other choruses. They can choose to come to our concerts.
Okay, does the public come as well?
Yeah, the public can buy tickets, but all the delegates can go to any concert with their badge. And I know my mom's going to come down from Wyoming to see us sing, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. Now, you said you'd been directing the Pride Chorus for 12 years.
Yes.
And how long has it been in existence? When did you charter member it?
Well, we started in 1997. So this was on the end of our 14th year. We're starting our 15th year next fall. And so we've been together a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. You were in at the beginning.
I've been in from the beginning, and I have sung in every concert except one.
How many people were there at the start? How many charter members are there?
Oh, that's a good
20,
question.
Probably.
Yeah,
not all of them are still around, but there's a few of us still around that have started the chorus and kept going.
What's the range of voices? It's all women, but do you have basses?
Well, we break them up into altos and sopranos, and the alto twos don't sing in a bass range, but they sing pretty low baritone, maybe like an octave below middle C.
Most people don't know that women's voices are constructed differently than men's voices. You don't have some of the breaks that we have in our ranges. So a woman can actually sing all the way from the soprano down to an extremely low range without having to kind of shift around inside the head like men have to.
Right. And there's a couple in the chorus that have very large ranges.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
There's sopranos in this concert, and there'll be altos, and when we go to Denver. Because we have a lot of sopranos going to Denver.
They can sing both lines.
Yeah.
That takes a little bit of skill. Shifting over to altos got to be...
We have a special name for that. They're called soprano transsectionals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That almost sounds medical in nature.
Yeah. But we have a lot of fun music in this concert.
What all are you singing?
We have everything from a madrigal, which was written in the 1600s, to things that was written 4 years ago for the celebration of Barack Obama being elected as our first African-American president.
Mm-hmm.
We're singing some folk tunes from the women's music movement written in the 70s and from Alex Dobkin and Ann Reed. We're singing a couple spirituals and then we're singing a song that you'll hear after our little talk here, Music in My Mother's House, which is written by a children's artist, musical artist, and it's one of our favorites.
Mary, you were in at the start. How does the range that the chorus is singing now compare to what you remember from when you were at the beginning?
Oh, we have improved just year after year after year. We sang at the Folk Festival Saturday, and we've heard lots of comments about some people said it's the best you've ever sounded. And even though we get new people every year, I mean, there's people this year singing that this is their first time. They heard us sing, they liked what they saw, and they came and joined us. But Leslie does an incredible job of shaping all those voices, and we're pretty together. This is going to be an exciting concert.
Oh, I've heard you, and you are amazingly together. You have a wonderful ability to blend the voices. I guess my question was going to the range of the kinds of music that you're singing now as opposed to what you sang when you began.
Well,
it sounds like you're just totally across the board here.
There's a huge variety, and some of us go into these festivals that also helps because we hear other choruses who have different repertoire than we do, and it's a good networking ability to Leslie can meet with other directors, we talk with other singers, and we learn what more music is out there.
Oh.
So it's a I know they last summer they worked on picking the music for this concert, and there was lots of music to listen to and pick from to cull it down to what we're going to sing Saturday night.
What's your favorite?
Well, Heroes, which is by Ann Reed, and Ann Reed came a number of years back and sang it with us, and that's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And it talks about women's history, which is really exciting.
I'm hearing alto, but I'm not sure.
No, I'm a soprano.
A soprano?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Second soprano.
Okay, well, I guess I could have taken that from the cheekbones. Sure. Okay. All right. Okay.
I can sing higher than I talk.
I think it's always interesting to me how people's voices shift between speech and singing.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to the chorus, do you bring them in? Whether they have any training at all? I mean, do you train them up?
Well, it's a non-audition chorus.
Okay.
And so we take people and most of them can sing, kind of, you know, in tune with themselves, but learning how to sing in a chorus,
yeah, hear it and sing it at the same time,
right?
Yeah,
that is a process,
yeah.
And it takes a while for people to understand what's happening on the page, how it sounds, what's happening around them, and so it's quite a process that we go through in our rehearsals every Tuesday, but you know, every season there's a point where the music starts gelling and it starts making musical sense and we start having fun with it and we start learning it from the inside out, so we internalize the music so we can really perform it. And that's the one thing that I love about the Pride Chorus is our concerts are so much fun. The audience is so great, and I hope the audience grows and grows even this year. But when we sing, our audience is so appreciative that it just makes it a lot more fun and just worth every minute of our work that we've sweated over.
Well, terrific. So the concert starts, well, with a silent auction at 6:30, and then the concert itself begins at 7:30 in the Jack.
Right.
And I'm assuming that the tickets are on sale at the usual places and at the door. Is that the...
Well, you can get them at the Jack.
Okay.
Online at the Jack, and you can get them from the Pride Chorus members.
Oh, okay.
And also at the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. Mm-hmm. And you're off to Denver. When is the International Gala Fest?
It's July 7th through the 11th.
Okay. So, and that's, we're doing this as a fundraiser in order to fund the 23
yes.
to 24 members of the Pride Chorus who will be going down to that huge festival down there. Thank you very much. Let's go out of here with some of your music, okay?
While we were cooking or working in the yard, we
Juno Pride Chorus in concert at the Folk Fest last week, and they are having a concert that starts at with a silent auction at 6:30 on the 21st, Saturday night, at the Jack, and music at 7:30. Broad-ranging program. We just got an updated weather forecast. Looks like mostly cloudy for tonight with isolated rain showers this evening and then scattered rain showers late. Lows around 41, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, and then Friday, rain developing by the afternoon. Highs around 51, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Friday night, rain. Saturday, rain. Saturday night, chance of rain showers. Sunday, mostly cloudy and a chance of rain showers. So a little rain Friday, and then maybe it's going to clear up over the weekend again, so we could have we could fool the weatherman and have the sun come out again. Wouldn't that be nice one more time? Isn't it amazing what kind of weather we've been having? Hey, Maria Levischuk is here with me. She's the executive director over at the Glory Hole and is here to talk a little bit about the Glory Hole and a little bit about the Empty Bowls program that's coming up. Is it Saturday night?
It's this Sunday.
Sunday, yeah, it's Sunday afternoon. Okay, and so Empty Bowls for the four people in the audience that are not from Juneau and haven't heard of this program. What is Empty Bowls?
It is our one and only fundraiser, and it is based on a national program, and basically all the local artists contribute either wooden or ceramic bowls, and most of the local restaurants donate soups, and there's a silent auction and music, and people basically stand in line, and we get to choose, as we get through the door, we get to choose one out of hundreds of bowls, and they have all they can eat soup and bread and cookies and music, and they visit with their neighbors, and the idea is to kind of raise money to have everybody, including the artists, kind of like contribute to this cost of solving hunger issues. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good fundraiser.
Now, when I've been to this a couple, three times. The bowls are laid out on tables as you come in the door, and it's perfectly fair in the rules of the game to pick up a bowl that appeals to you and then perhaps walk down the rest of the table. And if you find a bowl that is more your bowl, then you can exchange and you don't have to make your final selection until you get all the way down to the end. Isn't that
right?
Yeah,
right. Yes, and there should be a lot of choices this year. So.
Now, the bowls are provided by...
Oh, everybody in the community, the UAS Ceramics Program and Jeremy Kane do a lot. We did over 100 bowls today when we have a partnership with the Canvas Community Studio where we basically make their pottery studio available to whoever wants to come and turn bowls there. So we have a lot of bowls from the canvas and all from the different artists who made them at the canvas. And then we have individual artists like Paul Walker's contributes all the time. And then we have beautiful wooden bowls from Kevin Meyer and Don Gottschall and Neil Slotnick. And they're amazing. There are some really cool ones made out of willow and mountain ash, and they just look really, really beautiful.
Turned wooden bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have the big ones from Colette Oliver. I mean, it's really, there are a lot of people who contribute bowls, and they're all just really amazing looking.
What's the cost?
$30, but for $30 you get the bowl, and some of them, you know, are much over that in price. When you get all you can eat soup, and we have a lot of vegetarian soups this year, as well as meat soups. And you have all you can eat cookies. You have bread from Wild Oven Bakery,
and
you have
Daniel
music.
Is joining the crowd.
Daniel has done this for us this is year three, but Daniel is contributing bread.
I am
for
so
free.
Glad he opened the little bakery down there. It's
he really is a wonderful person, Daniel.
Yeah.
And then we have a silent auction. And I think we have really, really good deals at our silent auction, usually. So, and then we also have a dessert auction this year. That should be really, really good.
Well, this is new then. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what time does this little festivity kick off?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Now, if you haven't already bought a ticket, you have between now and Sunday to buy tickets where?
You can buy tickets at Hearthside in downtown or in the Valley, and you can get tickets at the door.
Okay, and this price is still the same. It's 30 at the door.
Right.
But it would sure be nice if we knew who all was coming and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the $30 that we're talking about here goes to support the Glory Hole.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the Glory Hole.
So the Glory Hole is a homeless shelter and soup kitchen and the care center. We're downtown. In 2011, we served over 52,000 meals. We serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. We're open every single day for a shelter. We have 43 beds. We also do other things like provide laundry, showers, transportation assistance, housing assistance, limited case management. We now have an outreach coordinator. We do through partnerships with other organizations like the Front Street Clinic and Gaston Human Services provide mental health counseling assistance and basic problem solving. And we have a garden program that's kicking off.
How's the garden going?
It's going really well. I'm really excited. All of our perennials.
This happened last year.
Well, we built it 2 years ago. Last year was our first year of actually harvesting, and this is our first year when we don't have like any major construction or anything going on, and we can just focus on growing.
I guess anybody who hasn't been there, the Glory Hole backs up against a wall. It's like vertical out behind your back door.
Well, it's
and you
now
guys terraced it.
We terraced it.
And that was mostly hand labor.
It.
I mean,
it was all hand labor. Yeah, it's really.
So this was shovel and brickwork, and then and terraced it and walled it off, and now there are these beds up there.
Mm-hmm.
And last year you grew vegetables that were actually served for dinner.
Yeah, and lunch, and then we did some breakfast frittatas too, which were great. Yeah, so we're really excited this year. And today it kind of gets better and better every day. Like today we built a bunch of benches out of like this, useless lumber that we had laying around from 3 years ago. Built some hoop houses. It's looking very nice.
Now, the cooking at the Glory Hole, you do have a couple of professionals on staff, I think, right?
Uh-huh.
But you also rely to a great extent on community organizations who come in and volunteer to cook.
Most of the dinners are made by community organizations, and then all the lunches and breakfasts are made by Glory Hole staff and patrons who help out.
How does that work? If an organization is not currently serving, how would they get on the list?
They should call me at 586-4159 extension 2, or they can email me at thegloryhole@gci.net, or we can go on our website www.feedjuno.org and then email me through there, and we can schedule.
Okay, and a group that's going to do this, they're expected to buy the basic, the meal, and then bring it down and fix it?
And we do have a bunch of staples, if folks cannot afford to buy the ingredients.
Right. I was with one organization, and we would go and buy everything at Costco, and it was not that costly for us. And then we got in on cheeseburger night. And the patrons love cheeseburger night.
The patrons love cheeseburger night.
It is wonderful, and they respond wonderfully well. And one of the things that I thought was really wonderful about that group was that one of our members said, we really can't just sit back here and watch these people eat. We need to go around on the other side and sit down with them. And that was the richest part of the whole process. I made some pretty good friends out there eating cheeseburgers with the patrons. So it's part of a process that I think brings you into contact with some of the people in our community who need help and need friends. Yeah. You do an amazing job. How did you come to this?
I don't know.
That's not a good answer.
It just seemed like a really good job.
Uh-huh.
And
what were you doing before?
I was a private investigator.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, where?
For Tom Wagner, who is city's misdemeanor attorney. And I was working for, say, Alaska Heritage before
then. And you just one day upped and said, gee, I think I'll go manage the glory hole.
I saw this in the paper, and I've worked in social services before. It just seemed like a perfect job because it's all about doing very concrete things.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. There's never a dull moment.
No, that for certain. Do you live on premises?
No. Nope. I think that is a bad idea.
I think so too. Yeah. I would imagine that you would never sleep. So, but I imagine you get called in sometimes.
Oh yes.
Middle of the night.
Get a lot of calls.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one more time now. The upcoming event, which is 100% of the money goes to... Oh, and we have another guest who just came into the studio here. Let me get you to introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm John Gagin. I'm the board chair of the Glory Hole.
Oh, hi, John. And welcome. We've kind of talked about the event. I wonder if you have any other light to share with us here. Maria's already told us the menu and the nature. We've talked about the nature of the bowls and all that sort of thing. So let me ask you this question. You're the chairman of the board.
Right.
How many members are there of the board?
We've got 13 members now.
Okay.
We've got a very good, very active board.
And this board, what kinds of skills do you bring, do you have on the board?
We've got a number of lawyers on the board.
We have a lot of lawyers on the board.
And we've got L.G. Rehfeld and Mertz generously donates an accountant to work with us very closely. And so our board treasurer, who works out there, is on the board. I don't know, we have a number of representatives of the various churches in town. So
are you looking for any additional board members?
No, not at this point.
It would be nice to have a member of the business community on the board.
Oh, really?
If you're missing that.
Oh.
Well, but at the moment, I think we've got our bylaws say up to 13, and we're at 13.
Well, they have a lot of lawyers, so they're probably changing the bylaws.
Well, let's not go there. Anyway, so the role of the board in relationship to the Glory Hole is what?
We set the overall policy, but, as with any nonprofit, Maria, as the executive director, takes care of the day-to-day things, and she brings us when we're going to be making some major decisions. She'll bring it to us for our input, but as always with any board, there's always a fine line between micromanaging, which is a no-no, and just setting the big policy perspectives. And of course we pass the budget, and like any other nonprofit board, we take a fairly active role in fundraising.
What percentage of your total budget will come, or do you hope will come, from the Empty Bowls program?
It's about close to a tenth.
Okay.
Really significant.
Right. And your other funding sources are?
Our other funding sources are, we get government grants, but government grants are always iffy. We've got federal grants, which are always particularly iffy at this time. We have city-borough grant. We get some state money. We get a very large percentage of our money from the local churches, since we are a what? Tell me again. I can't.
Juno Cooperative Christian Ministry.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That escapes me for some reason. Yeah, and we aren't. We are not a Christian. Strictly speaking, we are not a Christian organization, but we do raise. Most of our board members represent various churches in town, so we get a lot of our money from there. We do very well with foundation grants. Maria is excellent at writing grants and getting those, and then just donations from individuals.
Mm-hmm. Well, one more time, the Empty Bowls begins at?
5 to 7 at Centennial Hall.
5 p.m. Sunday, right, 5 to 7, and it's $30. And for that $30, you get a bowl and all-you-can-eat soup.
And bread and cookies.
Okay, good.
And your choice of the bowl. And children can come and have just soup but no bowl, and they're $10.
Oh, okay.
And it's really fun because there's music, too. So.
Oh, okay. Music. And as well, you're doing a silent auction and you're doing a dessert auction this year. Who's desserts?
Oh, we have pie in the sky dessert. We have the best bakers in town desserts. We have a ton of dessert. I think at really good prices. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad we could kind of talk about this thing. And thanks for dropping in on us. Thanks for rushing out of your day and coming down.
Well, actually, I nodded off for a minute there. So.
Well, normally you would be hearing a different voice do this, but I'm doing Arts Up tonight in the absence of our regular performer. So anyway, let's take a look at what's happening around the week. Highlights for events that are coming up. It's Thursday tonight, 5:30 p.m. Expressing the Soul and Leaded Stained Glass Windows classes are at Canvas Community Art. Alaska Coastal Rainforest Symposium Banquet and Keynote Speaker at Centennial Hall starting at 6 o'clock. Spring into Paper Piercing with Rain Tree Quilting starting at 6 o'clock. And tonight, of course, is one of the performances of Flipzoids by the Generator Theater in McFetry's Hall, 4th and Gold. Friday, we're looking at the Kimball Organ Noon Concert, Friday at noon, as always. Dan Hobson's Classical Guitar at the Gold Room at the Baranoff. UAS Arts at Egan Series 2012 Sound Plus Motion Tidal Echoes launch. So at 7 p.m. Up at UAS in the Egan Lecture Hall, they're rolling out the new copy of Tidal Echoes, the UAS Arts publication. Flipzoids tomorrow night, 7:30. English Country Dancing with Bruce Hamilton, visiting dance masters, and that's at Smith Hall at Chapel by the Lake in Auk Bay. And at 9 p.m. At the Alaskan Ocknotes, Diatribe Northwest, and Silver Jackson, so an evening at music at the Alaskan. Saturday at 8:30 in the morning, the Juneau Audubon Society Burners Bay Cruises will leave Statter Harbor below DeHart's. They have a four-hour cruise. At 9 a.m., the City Museum will have its annual volunteer training at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. At 9 a.m., also, a workshop is beginning on improv into scripted productions at the Hangar Ballroom. 10 in the morning, you can go to costumed figure drawing at ceramic fairy houses, bird houses, and ceramic planter classes, all of that at Canvas Community Art Studio. At 10 in the morning also, International Humanitarian Law, Humanity in the Midst of War at the Mendenhall Valley Library Conference Room. At 10 and 1:30 and 3, there are English Country Dance classes with Bruce Hamilton, the visiting dance master. Those will be held at the Jack. At noon, Noodle of Doom Earth Day performance at Glacier Visitors Center, one of our belly dancing groups here in Juneau. Next Saturday, Dixieland Band Open Rehearsal at the Big Blue Music Studio. That's at 540 West 8th. You can give them a call at 957-6120 if you're interested, or call the Juneau Community, or look on the website at JuneauCommunityBand.org. At 1:30 p.m., there's a workshop in two-person improv at the Hangar Ballroom. At 2, there's a watercolor class at the Canvas Studios. At 2, they're also having the Spring Showdown Climbing Competition at the Rock Dump. 2:30, Dazzling Dinosaurs, a virtual tour of the Royal Tyrrell Paleontology Museum held at the Downtown Library. 6 p.m., Saturday Night Swing at the Rookery. 6:30 p.m. Saturday night, we have the Juneau Pride Chorus concert that we talked about earlier on the show. At 7, Landry and Summers, Whatever It Is, We're Against It, at the Hangar Ballroom at Merchants Wharf. and at 7:30 p.m., the next performance of Flipzoids by the Generator Theater in McPhetry's Hall. There's another English country dancing session with Bruce Hamilton. That'll be at Smith Hall in Chapel by the Lake starting at 7:30 on Saturday night. And at 9 o'clock, the same three groups, Hawk Notes, Diatribe Northwest, and Silver Jackson, will be playing at the Alaskan. And at 10 p.m., Juno City Limits at the Rendezvous at 184 South Franklin Street in Juno. Taking a look on through the weekend, on Sunday, there's a lidded vessels class at the Canvas beginning at 10 in the morning on Sunday. At 1 p.m., Mary Albanese will give a presentation and book signing at Hearthside Books, and that's at the Nugget Mall. And there will also be at 1 p.m. another class starting at the Canvas in dip glazing and wax resists. At 1:30 and 3 p.m., there are English country dancing classes with Bruce Hamilton at the Jack. At 2 o'clock, Words Form the World, exchange student programs at the Downtown Library. That's a potluck event, and it's free. 1 Million Bones Art Making Workshop at the Sketch Studio, Main and Front Street, by Kenny's Restaurant, beginning at 3 p.m. At 5, we just talked about the Empty Bowls event, starts at 5 p.m. Sunday. They have a menu of soups from most of the restaurants in town, and you get to pick out a ceramic bowl. Drop by at 5 p.m. The cost is $30. At 6 p.m., it's International Folk Dance and Ballroom Dance at the Jack downtown, or JRC downtown. Sorry, it's the JRC Juno Racquet Club. And at 7:30 p.m., Flipzoids. At 10 p.m., Juno City Limits is playing at the Rendezvous. Looking ahead to next week, on Monday, it's Arts Advocacy Day. At 2 p.m., there's a slab-built mugs class at the Canvas. At 5 p.m., the Arts Roundtable will be at the Jack. At 5:30 p.m., a felted wool class will start at the Canvas. At 6 p.m., there's a focus writing group at the Downtown Library, free. And at 6:30 p.m. also, that's the beginning of the film Sholem Aleichem, Laughing in the Darkness, that we just heard about earlier in the program today, sponsored by the synagogue and featuring Rabbi Dov Gartenberg and Jeff Kirsch talking about Jewish humor. And Tuesday, we're looking at a ballroom dance class, beginning wheel throwing class, both at the Canvas. That starts at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Tuesday evening, there's the Software Sampler Club at the Rain Tree Quilting. At 6:30 p.m., International Space Station at the Marie Drake Planetarium. At 7 p.m., a jam fundraiser, El Sistema Documentary Film at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. On Wednesday at 10 in the morning, Write for Your Life at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library. At 11:15, the Pillars of America Speaker Series with Josh Shipp at Centennial Hall. That function includes lunch. At 6:30 p.m., the Community Who Sing in the Downtown Library. At 6:30, the Howard Weaver Reading and Book Signing will be held at the Hearthside Books in the mall. And at 6:30 p.m. also, there will be a chiaroscuro drawing class starting at Canvas. At 7 p.m. Wednesday, KRNN's Radio Concert Series. This is the Native Jazz Series with Ed Littlefield and Christian Fabian. It'll be at the Goldtown Theater. On Thursday, 10:30 in the morning, Idea Information Conference is held at Centennial Hall. At 6:30 p.m., the Juno Raptor Center will hold its board meeting at 641 West Willoughby Avenue in Suite 301. And at 7:30 on Thursday, there's another performance of Flipzoids with the Generator by the Generator Theater in New McPhetry's Hall. If you tune in to Juno Afternoon tomorrow, you'll hear Jeff talking to, yes, tomorrow afternoon, you'll hear about Monday's UAS Enrollment Day. We'll find out about Earth Day celebrations at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center on Saturday. We'll get in step with the visiting English dance master, Bruce Hamilton, who's going to be doing all of those different dance events through the weekend here and into next week. And then we'll get in, we'll be learning how to get ready for the boating season. Jack Brandt, the commander of the local Coast Guard Auxiliary, will come in to tell us about that. And Jeff will have Writer's Almanac, music, and more as always tomorrow at 3 on Juno Afternoon. In tune with KTOO Juno, we broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas, and we also broadcast on a set of translators throughout the area to clarify our signal in the places where the mountains stop our radio signal from getting to you. In the valley in Auk Bay, if you tune to 103.1, you can hear a signal from K276AF that repeats our station. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, we're repeated on K269AO at 101.7. We also transmit out to some of the distant places. Gustavus listens to us on K201 AM at 88.1. We serve Huna on K220BT. They tune us at 91.9 on the FM band. And Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS. We're on 89.9 there. And in Juneau, we're also on GCI Cable Juneau at digital channel 871. You can hear our sister stations KRNN and KXLL on channels 872 and 873. And you can always pick up the stream of all three of our stations at www.ktoo.org.